Happy Thanksgiving. I don't know whether you knew, we celebrate Thanksgiving Sunday today. Can we just remind each other by telling them Happy Thanksgiving? Would you do that? Won't you tell each other? This week I was thinking about, the great American tradition. What am I thankful for this year? I don't know whether you're thankful. You can be, or you may not be. But I actually sat down and thought about, what am I thankful for? I want to share two things, and I am thankful for this life that He has given me that I could live to Him. That's first and foremost. Okay, nothing comes even close. I thank the Lord for this life that He has given me, especially at this stage of my life. I'm thankful that I could live for Him, live to Him. Okay, and it was a gift through His Son, and that's what we're going to be talking about. And second thing I'm really, really thankful for this year, after we moved to Hicksville, so many lives that God has brought to my life. I'm really thankful, okay? And, it's kind of interesting because in life, things don't just kind of flow as you want, right? Sometimes people come, sometimes people go, okay? And I don't mean to say, that means nothing. That it's painstaking, it is painful, and all that, but it really is in the hand of God, and God brings people, and we build our lives together. Okay, so now that we moved to Hicksville, we began to meet new people, and I really thank the Lord for them. Okay, if your heart is like mine, could you smile at me? Okay. Many of you, thanks a lot. Okay, but I'm thankful. I'm really thankful. Today I want to talk about, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, I want to talk about a topic that really will shake your life from eternity to eternity. And the question is, what is your view of the Scripture, the Bible? Okay? Today, the title of the message, as you see it, Scriptures, plural, okay? Old Testament, referring to the Old Testament, straight from the Bible, John chapter 5, verse 39, key text for today. Scriptures bear witness about me. Now, that's a huge claim if you think about it. Entire scripture, this person happens to be Jesus, who claims to be equal with God, okay? You could claim anything you want, okay? But you could be claiming something that is true, and you could be claiming something that is way off, okay? If I were to say, I am the best golfer, nobody's going to believe me, right? I could claim it, but nobody's going to believe me. I used to be pretty good. I think I could beat Phil Chang anytime. No. I used to be pretty good, but if I were to say, I'm the best in the world, I could claim it, but you're going to just laugh at me, okay? But Jesus claimed that I am equal with God, okay? And you can't take this lightly, people, because if He isn't, we could just close the door and we go home. Let's go watch the football game or something. But if He is, if there is evidences and witnesses, I think you should listen. You better listen, okay? So today, I want us to talk about this astonishing claim of Jesus that I am equal with God, same nature, same being, and one God. Okay? And last week, we talked about this incredible, dreadful topic of judgment. I don't know what happened to you after last Sunday. Some people were blessed. Some people were confused. Okay? People were, actually. Do you know dead and the living will all rise? We talked about this. Everybody will rise. Adolf Hitler will rise. Michael Jackson will rise. my father who passed away many years ago will rise. In fact, starting from Adam, Bible says, all humanity people, not just believers, all humanity will be resurrected and will stand before the judgment seat of God. And Jesus is claiming that I am the God and I am the judge. Now that's a huge claim. Is there any witness? Is there any evidence? He could claim it, but is that true? Is there any evidences? You know, the word bear witness is martyrio, which is the word that comes from, I'm sure it's pretty familiar with a lot of people, Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Christians, when the Holy Spirit is upon you, and which you do if you're a Christian, you are martus, someone who testify, someone who witness. And Jesus claims that there are witnesses today, okay? And that witness is nothing less than God himself who speaks through the scripture. Can I just ask you? You could answer to yourself. What is Jesus' view of the scripture? Is it high or is it kind of questionable? The scriptures bear witness about me. And if doesn't have a high view of the scripture, he is just destroying himself. Makes sense, right? So with that as an introduction, I want us to look at the today's text. And I found this scale, because judgment is like scale, okay? And the Muslims look at it like that too. And on this side, on the lower side, there is the righteousness of God and holiness of God, okay? That's his judge. His judgment will be righteous and just. So many of us say, where is justice in this world? And I could promise you, Bible claims that, and the judgment is mine. Leave that up to me. Okay? The vengeance is mine. And he is righteous and just. And only thing you could place on your left, I don't think it's your righteousness. I don't think it's your work. Only thing that'll balance the righteousness of God is the righteousness of God. I hope that makes sense. And it is impossible without God giving you righteousness as a gift. That's Christianity, people. That's the gospel, and that's going to be the judgment. Okay? I'm going to read the text one more time really quick, starting with verse 30. And this is how he testifies that my claim is not empty, my claim is not void, because I have witnesses. Who are the witnesses? Okay, verse 30. I can do nothing on my own, as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now, here's a sentence that's moving into witnessing. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. Okay? And the people who are indicting that he is a blasphemy is the Jews. And according to Deuteronomy and the law, you need to have three or two witnesses. And he's going to give exactly three witnesses, okay? And basically, sort of like the sign statement is verse 32. There is another person who bears witness about me. Who's that another person? God himself, okay? Another person who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony of he bears about me is true. Only God is true. Okay? And then he gives three specific witnesses. Number one, first one is John. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from men, but I say these things so that you may be saved. The first person is John the Baptist, the first prophet after 400 years. Can you imagine God not speaking to you for, let alone 400 years, how about a year? Can you imagine God just doesn't show any grace to you, any joy to you, any hope to you for about a few months? I went through that kind of period a few years ago. Some of you know. About 6 months. Oh, man. 6 months. It's like eternity. Can you imagine 400 years of silence? God was silent and finally sent a prophet who speaks the word of God. And that's John the Baptist. The voice of the one who's calling in the wilderness, who's preparing way of the king. of the Lord, someone who has been prophesied almost 600-700 years ago by Isaiah, Lord himself, the king is coming, and the prophet is preparing the way. And he's my witness. Okay? First witness. Okay? You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from men, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He's speaking to the Jews, people who are really religious, who search the scripture like crazy. Okay? And this is the view of Jesus about this man. He was a burning and shining lamp. And you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. Can you imagine God sees you? He is burning and shining lamp of me. He shines me. You know, God sees you. Can you imagine, man, John is a burning and shining lamp. But this is how Jesus viewed John the Baptist, his first witness. Second witness, but the testimony that I have is even greater than that of John. And the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. Second witness is his life, ministry, and miracle itself. Okay? First witness, John the Baptist. Second witness, his own life and the power and the miracle itself. We're going to talk about it in a little bit. Okay? And the third and final witness is God himself. And how does he do that? Through the scriptures. Okay? Verse 37 through all the way down to 47 is about God's witness through the scripture. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. He's my witness. He's my martus. His voice you have never heard. His form you have never seen. And you have not, you do not have his word abiding in you. Now that's a huge statement. These are the Jews and the Pharisees who study the scripture like their own life. And Jesus is saying, you do not have my word in you, abiding in you. For you do not believe in the one who has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them, scriptures in and of itself, you have eternal life. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not it. But it is they, the scriptures, that bears witness about me. Huge claim. Huge claim. Okay? Okay. So let me stop right there. So according to the law, according to Deuteronomy, if there is an indictment that you are committing a crime or blasphemy, you need to have 2 to 3 witnesses. And Jesus is giving 3 witnesses. Really is one. Okay? The first one is John the Baptist, the forerunner. And he was a prophet who spoke with such authority for the first time in 400 years. And people respected him. Okay? Second was the work and ministry and life of Jesus himself, his miracles, his power. Who could do that? Who was even close to him in history? Right? What are those? What are those? He raised the dead. He fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Okay? If it says 5,000 men, that's about 20,000 people. 20,000 people. Imagine Madison Square Garden full of people. And you're feeding with 1 lunch of a small boy. He healed deaf and mute and invalid and blinds. And even the dead were raised. Who did that? Look at the miracles. Look at the power. Look at the authority. Okay? His power and miracles to calm the storm. Hurricane Andrew. He just calms it. He rebukes the wind. He calms it. And he walks on water, casting out demons. And even the demons recognize him. Every sickness, every evil spirit recognize him. And he could cast out. Who is this person? Nicodemus came to him in John chapter 3. He said, this cannot be done without God, without God in you. In other words, this is the evidence of God, that his claim is God, and God is a witness. Okay? But third and final witness is the biggest one, Okay, the witness of God himself, his word, his voice, the entire scripture. And verse 39 is the key verse. It says, you search the scriptures and entire Old Testament because you think it is in them you have eternal life. He's saying, no, that scripture is pointing toward me. Scripture bear witness about me. Huge statement. Jesus is saying, you know, it is not the end. Scripture is not the end. It is the means to the ultimate end. That's Christ himself. Okay? Huge claims. So, let me just ask you, what does the word witness imply? Martyrio. Okay? I want to give you quick four verses, and you will be able to hear it. Okay? In John's gospel, this word martyrio is used this way. John the Baptist said, I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. I've seen and I have borne witness. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 11 to Nicodemus, we speak of what we know and we bear witness to what we have seen. Do you hear it? I have seen, I witness. Verse chapter 3, verse 32, he bears witness to what he has seen and heard. Chapter 19, verse 35, one last one. He who saw it has borne witness. So what is to witness? A witness is the one who has seen something firsthand, okay, as an eyewitness, and you could testify that it has happened. The person who is witnessing is not someone who is arguing with you that it happened, but he is saying that it happened. I saw it. That's a witness. And God is saying, it happened. I saw it. Jesus is God. Okay? God is my witness. That's what he's saying. Now, I want to ask you, what do you think is Jesus' view on Scripture? What do you think is Jesus' view on the Scriptures? Is it high? Is it low? Is it questionable? What do you think? It's a huge question, people. It's a high view. This is what he's saying. All scripture testify about me. What he's saying is this. All the prophecies in the Old Testament and in the scriptures is about me. All of them. All the allusions, all the pictures in the Old Testament is pointing toward me. Let me give you some examples, okay? You know, tabernacle, sacrifices, priest, lamb, kings, and shepherds. All these allusions is pointing toward me, right? Not only that, all the stories and all the history is pointing and foreshadowing toward me. He's saying entire Old Testament is about me. What do you think his view of the scriptures? That's pretty high, isn't it? That's pretty high. Now, the reason I'm asking you this question is because I'm going to ask you, what is your view of the scripture? Now think about it. If this is the view of Jesus, if your view is one or the other, it's going to affect you, okay? In other words, Jesus' entire ministry and work is lived and breathed and built upon the scriptures. Do you see it? According to the scripture, he came. According to the scripture, he died. According to the scripture, he was resurrected. According to the scripture, he's coming back. And according to the scripture, he's going to judge living and the dead. It's everything in the scripture. It's very high. But here, the Jews and the Pharisees, they search the scriptures so carefully, so meticulously. Do any of you do that? I'm not trying to little you. We don't do that anymore. But the Jews do. They did. And yet they completely missed the mark. They were completely deviated from Christianity. Loving God. Loving our neighbors. Waiting for the Savior. That we cannot fulfill any of the law. Not all 10 of them, not 600 of them. We cannot even keep up with one. Can I just ask you? Thou shalt not steal. Can you keep it before the Lord? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Can you keep it? Is your hand clean before the Lord? Thou shalt not give false testimony. Are you clean with it? Don't you exaggerate? Don't you minimize your own faults? Thou shalt not commit murder. Can you keep it? Is your hand clean? Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you have already committed murder. Old Testament is supposed pointing toward Christ. Not in and of itself you could find salvation. But the Jews somehow completely missed the mark and thought that they could keep them. Not only they keep them, they were pretty good. I think this is a huge statement, okay? You think in them, the scriptures, you have eternal life, which Jesus is saying no. But it is they, the scriptures, bear witness about me. He's saying that scripture, when you look at the scripture, two things should happen if you look at it right, okay? Two things. Number one, you are led to see the absolute need of a Savior. If you are stand before the judgments of God now, please look at me. And you will. You will. You know what you're going to be standing with? Your life and your works. What did you do? Seriously, people. The first thing the scripture should say is the absolute, desperate need of a Savior. Okay? The second thing we are called to see in the scripture is that the absolute need of a Savior, and we began to see and believe the glory of the person of Christ and the work of Christ, and it leads you to Christ. That's what the scripture is about. But it is through the scripture. Do you hear it? Without the scripture, you don't see either, which means probably you have not even begun. Okay? That's what scripture is saying. In other words, the scriptures are the means to an ultimate end, the Savior in Christ. Scripture is not the end. That's what Jesus is saying. Okay, here, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but it is they, the scriptures, that bear witness about me. Now, I want to ask you a question about you. What is your view of the scripture? Okay. I respect it. I kind of like it. I believe it. I believe some. I believe portion. Okay? You may have all these different opinions, but let me just kind of like organize it for you. Okay? There's only two main views. Only two main views. Now think with me. One is scriptures. Entire scripture is written by, not by God, but by men. Or it's mixed. Written by men, and it is about God. That's one view. And the other camp is written by God, and God has spoken to you. That's the second camp. Are they similar? Absolutely different, people. What is your view? Okay. It is written by men. Some of them are good. Some of them I could believe. Some of them I could tolerate. And some of the things about homosexuality and this and whatnot, it bothers me. It's not relevant. It's out of politically incorrect. I don't know. You have all these different views. Okay? Or is it by God has spoken, and this is the word of God? By the way, which view is Jesus' view? It's the latter, isn't it? Written by God, and it's the word of God. Some of you are in this camp, okay? Written by men, regarding God, seeking somehow to God. Now, if that's what it is, we have a conflict here, right? These two options, two assumptions, and here's what I want to tell you. No, none of you are objective. None of you are objective. There are objective things you could keep, but you are not an objective person. Your experience, your reason, your knowledge, and your different experiences will, you know, cause you to take one position or the other, and you judge the scripture according to you. In other words, you are in a higher place than the scripture. I know. I feel like I'm cornering you. But we have to deal with this topic. If Jesus, right, absolutely build and breathe and build everything upon scripture, and you don't, can you trust him? Can you put your life and put trust in him and ask him to be your Lord and Savior? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You see the problem? The difference we see is these two views. The ramification is severe. In fact, it's eternity. I don't know what your view of the scripture is. Because you do have a view. You do have a few people. Let me share what Keller shared, okay, about this. Jesus had complete confidence in the divine origin of the truth and the power of the scripture. It's God origin. God has spoken. Therefore, people don't believe in the authority and infallibility of the Bible because of their sentiment or tradition or experience. What they're doing is we believe it's because you can be a follower of Jesus Christ and reject the truth which Jesus built his whole life. And his conclusion is authority of the Christ, and authority of the scriptures stand and fall together. Right? And you cannot have one without the other. I think he's right on. We just kind of need to come to a point, especially at the end of 2019, now church has been moved to Hicksville. And what are we going to do? How are we going to do ministry, church next year? How about your life? What is your view of the scripture? And your view of Christ? Stand and fall together, people. How do you put your life and trust to someone that who built something that you cannot trust? Your view of the scripture, your heart of the scripture is what makes you live or die. It really does, people. It really does. Okay? And there is really no middle ground. It is clear that Jesus himself took the position and witnessed that the scriptures are divine origin. It's divine origin. God has spoken, and it is not about God, but it is God's word. Are you listening like that right now? Or are you kind of like, let me figure him out? I mean, it's okay. But at one point, I think you need to come to a final place of belief and decision about this. Okay? Scriptures are divine origin. It's the testimony of God or the word of God. Okay? And he's saying the authority of the scripture and the authority of Christ stand and fall together. You cannot have one or the other. Jesus said you're going to be standing before the judgment seat of God. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? How many of you do believe it? You don't have to say amen if you don't. How many of you believe it? Can you say amen? Okay. Whether we believe it or not, it'll be fulfilled, people. And he's speaking to us because he loves you. He doesn't have to. You could just die and stand before the judgment, not knowing there was a judgment. It's possible. So many people will stand like that. But he's speaking to you. He's spoken to you because he loves you. He doesn't want you to stand on the final, righteous, just judgment of God defenselessly. Completely miss the ball game. Completely miss the mark. Right? So, where do you stand? Imagine you're... One way or another, you have a view of the scripture. If your experience and tradition and if your sentiment and whatever something happened to you saying that I don't believe that, that means you are in a higher position, higher judge than the word of God itself. And do you qualify to do that? Okay. What happens when the scripture is open to us? And I was preparing this message. And I want to share this story. It's a story that happened on first day of Easter Sunday, when Jesus, the day Jesus was resurrected. Jesus repeatedly spoken that I will be raised in 3 days. Scripture says that he will be raised. But when he actually was raised, so many people couldn't believe it. Do you believe it? Okay. So story is from Luke chapter 24, last chapter of Luke's gospel. And first Easter Sunday morning, as he promised, he was raised, and some woman saw the angel said he was raised. And it, actually, different gospels say that they met Jesus too. And Peter and John ran to the tomb and saw the empty tomb. So they heard about this resurrection, news of resurrection. And this is where it unfolds. And this is like the final story of the Luke's gospel. Kind of interesting. Okay, that day, day of Easter, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So two people, Cleopas and maybe his wife, where they were just walking down. As they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened about Jesus, while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus kind of has a humor. Okay, he just kind of sneaks in, right? And look at verse 16. But their eyes were kept hidden from recognizing him. So they did not recognize who Jesus was. And Jesus said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Why were they sad? And one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that had happened there in these days? How could you miss this? This is the biggest news." And Jesus said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed, word before God and all the people." He was a prophet. "And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. We killed him." Okay? The religious leaders killed him. "But we hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel." We hoped that he was the Messiah. Right? "Yes. And besides all this, it is now the third day since that thing has happened, since the death." And what happened? "Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive." In other words, he heard about the resurrection message as you have. Okay? As you have. Verse 24. "Some of those who were with us," Peter and John, "went to the tomb. And found it just as the woman had said." In other words, empty tomb. "But him they did not see. And he said to them," Jesus said to these two disciples, "Oh, you foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." In other words, scripture speaks about it and you don't believe it. Okay? "Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer and die and enter into his glory and resurrected?" Isn't that what the scripture says? That's what he's saying. And you don't believe it? And then amazing thing happens. This resurrected Christ, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, in other words, entire Old Testament, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures, in the Old and Old Testament, the things concerning himself. Jesus was doing a personal Bible study with these two people. And I guess it was good. Okay, I guess it was good. I think it is good, right? So they drew near to the village which they were going, and he acted as if, Jesus is an actor. He acted as if he was going further. But they urged him to strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So Jesus went in to stay with them, and now they were eating. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And see what happened. At that moment, their eyes were opened. First, scripture was opened. Now their eyes were opened. And when their eyes were opened, what happened? They recognized Jesus. When scripture is opened, when their eyes were opened, they recognized Jesus. Let me continue. And he vanished from their sight. Verse 32. And then they say to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened to us the scriptures? Which comes first? Opening of the scripture or opening of the eyes? Opening of the scripture. And then your eyes are opened. Opening of the scripture, Jesus explained to them on the way here, and now their eyes are opened. And they recognize the glory of Christ. Okay? And they rose from that same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and saying that, Lord has risen indeed. In the past, I don't know what happened. They were sad. Now, they declare that Lord has risen indeed. While this was happening, Jesus appeared to them. Okay? There's one more opening. Okay? One more opening of something. Then he, Jesus, risen Christ, said to them, these are my words that I've spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, that's the entire scriptures and the Bible, Old Testament, must be fulfilled. High view of the scripture, right? Entire life was built upon it. Entire his life. Then he opened their minds. Third opening. Okay? Jesus opened the scripture. Jesus opens your eyes. Now he opened your mind. Okay? What happens? Then you understand scriptures. What is the scripture about? What is Christianity about? What is life about? What is history about? Let me summarize it for you. He said to them, it is Christ should suffer. Christ need to be raised. Verse 47, it is about repentance and for the forgiveness of sins. And it is about proclamation of gospel to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Okay? And you are the witnesses. Christians, you are the martyrs, as the scripture is the martyrs of Jesus' claim. Okay? And for that to happen, what Father has promised, my Father has promised, which is the Holy Spirit, needs to come upon you. Do you hear it? This is what Christianity is. His death and resurrection, suffering and resurrection. Sin, repentance, and forgiveness, and the proclamation of the word to all nations. What else? And you are the witnesses. You are the church. That's what it means to be a church. And for us to be a Christian and to be witnesses, Holy Spirit, God sent, and he reigns in our lives. And then Lord comes back, and he will bring everything to an end. That's the word of God, people. Okay? I want to remind you of three. I love this story because Lord opens three times. First, he needs to open the scripture to you. How do you know Jesus without the scripture? What do you believe without the scripture? How is it possible that you could put your trust and life unto him without knowing the scripture? Is it possible? Absolutely not. First opening was the opening of the scripture. And then when God plants life in you, you begin to take interest in knowing Christ through the scripture. And it is happening. It is happening. Some of you are graduating from Christianity Explored. Some of you. I'm kidding. Yeah. Yeah. Right? And then you begin to believe. You begin to believe. And one day before you know it, your eyes opened. Man, Jesus is big. Glorious, great. It's not so much about my career. I don't know whether you see it yet. I saw it in 1985. I share with you so many times. I don't care whether I become a dentist or not. It didn't matter to me. But I want to live to you. If everything is about the glory of God, I want to live to you. If I don't, I got to be the greatest fool. Someday you recognize Jesus, the risen Christ, glory of Christ, and you begin to understand grace and you began to understand truth. Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen the glory of the Son, one and only Son, full of grace and full of truth. Without it, what do you see? Nothing, people. According to Scripture, not a thing. Okay? So what happened? As you understand the Scripture, one day He opens your mind. That's right. Nothing that I have means anything unless I surrender everything to Christ. That's Christianity, isn't it? God opens your mind. Okay? And on this Thanksgiving Sunday, I want to ask you, what is your plan for next year? Do you want to see Scripture being opened in your life? I don't know about you. I do. I really do. Without that happening in my life, I cannot do anything. Do you agree? Yeah. Without Scripture being opened, you don't even know what you're living for. You don't even know what is real. You don't even know what is precious. You don't even know the truth. You don't even know there is a judgment. Any moment, people. Any moment. Without the Scripture being open to you. And when the Scripture is opened, when God gives you that desire and life, and you begin to, your eyes will be open and begin to see Christ. Man, He's more important than my spouse. He's important than my children. He's important than my career. He's important than me. In fact, I'm not that important. I'm important, not that important. 60, 70, 80 years span, back to the dust. That's all you are. That's all I am. But His word and His kingdom lasts forever, people. Okay? It lasts forever. And finally, He opens your mind. He opens the Scripture. He opens what this is about, what life is about, what history is about, what Christianity is about, what marriage is about, everything. And I just pray that that'll be the story of your life and story of New Heart. I see so many Christians have no interest in Scriptures. I could tell you right now, you haven't started. You have not started. As a shepherd of this church, I must say this. You have not started. You don't even know Him. How do you know Him without understanding the Scripture, people? You don't have to go to seminary to understand, but interest to know Him, to love Him. How do you love someone you don't know? And how do you put your life and trust someone you do not love and know? I think it's very, very logical and sequential. If you know Him, you'll fall in love with Him. And if you love Him, you will follow Him. That's Christianity, people. One day we stand before the judgment seat of God, and those who put their trust in Christ have nothing to worry about. Bema judgment, they call it. And there are books about your life, your deeds recorded. And yesterday, even like people who went to church for many, many years asked me, what's going to happen then? Do you realize your sin will be atoned? Meaning, whatever is written about you in that book, because of you put your trust in the power of the blood of and death of Jesus Christ, it'll be raised white as snow on that book. Then what's left? That little things that I don't deserve, that I live for the Lord, will remain. Because sin will be eradicated in that book. Cleansed, forgiven, atoned. What an amazing grace. Doesn't it sound like an amazing grace to you? And little life that I live for the Lord will be rewarded. And I don't deserve it. That's why it is grace, people. There's nothing to worry about, people, when your life is standing upon Christ and Christ alone. Otherwise, it doesn't matter what you are. What your status is. I remember Billy Graham saying when Richard Nixon died. That goes back a few years. And Billy Graham standing before five presidents sitting in the front. Okay. Reagan, Carter, five, okay. And then he speaks, today, the most powerful men on face of the earth and history in 70s and 80s, Richard Nixon, will stand before the Almighty. Today, he will. Oh, man. I was watching, the whole world was watching, and there was a chill going down my spine. Today, the most powerful men on earth in 70s, now he will stand before the Almighty God. Whether you are a janitor, teacher, whatever you are, or the president of the most powerful nations on face of the earth, you will stand before the Almighty. And it is based on your relationship with Christ. Okay? And I just pray that you will come to know Christ through the scriptures. There's no other way, people. There's no other way. Scripture needs to be opened, and your eyes will be opened, and your mind will be opened, and the heaven will be opened. Okay, let's pray.